Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hi, I'm Keith Law. Welcome to episode 47 of the Keith Law Show. My guest today is going to be Andrew Tinnish of the Toronto Blue Jays. We worked together what seems like a lifetime ago. He is now the head of their international scouting efforts, which have been a huge contributor to their third-ranked farm system in all of Major League Baseball. If you look at their top 20, you will see a ton of prospects that they have signed through international free agency. And we are going to talk a little bit about some of those prospects, but also generally about what it is like to scout players outside of the draft market. My entire top 100 prospect package is now up for subscribers to The Athletic. You can see the overall top 100, team-by-team top 20s, and my rankings of all 30 organizations. Those are all available through the app and through the site. Each team has its own individual top 20, a note on the system as a whole. Players, I think, might have some impact for the team in 2021, as well as at least one sleeper prospect who I expect to maybe take a step forward for the team this year once we get players back on the field, which we hope will happen quite soon. Also, I'd just like to remind everyone, my second book, The Inside Game, Bad Calls, Strange Moves, and What Baseball Behavior Teaches Us About Ourselves, is coming out in paperback. We are about 6 weeks away from that. April 6th, it will be available. You can pre-order it now. Any place you buy books, call your local bookstore if you have one you like and want to support them. You can also get it on bookshop.org. Amazon, anywhere you buy your books online. Also, you will be able to pre-order. It's called The Inside Game. Now it is my pleasure to be joined by a longtime friend of mine and former colleague, Andrew Tinnish, who is now the Vice President of International Scouting for the Toronto Blue Jays. I believe Andrew was an intern the year before I got to the Blue Jays. He was working in amateur scouting at the time, and he has gone through multiple different jobs as he's climbed the ladder since then, but been in the international side for a couple of years now. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Keith. You know, you just got me reminiscing. I was thinking about, it's just over 17 years ago, I think, that we were on a flight together from LA to Taipei to see Chi-Hung Chang and Po-Sung Kang. Yeah.
Yep. Oh my God. Yeah. That was a hell of an experience. Neither of them turned out to be anything, but it's funny because part of where I got the idea to ask you to come on the podcast was I was just cooking for the family and made fried rice.
Okay.
And I'm sure you remember that place. Absolutely. In Kaohsiung where it was the best, it was the simplest thing ever. And first of all, it was like enough food to feed an army.
Yeah.
And I was like, why doesn't fried rice always taste so good? What are we missing here? And I swear I've spent 17 years trying to recreate that specific dish that we had there.
As long as you don't recreate that that horrible tofu that we had in the night market there. Chodofu, yeah.
Oh my God.
Struggled with that.
Yep. Think of that every time I open the jar of fish sauce to cook with it. I'm like, imagine picking that up and taking a swig directly out of the bottle.
Oh God.
God.
Unbelievable. Yep.
It was a great experience. I have not been back to Asia since either. There have been multiple times where I could have gone to see a player, try to go see maybe the Japanese WBC team at some point. It's just never worked out. That's still to this day, this is my only trip across the Pacific. I hope at some point soon. There's certainly players. I've just never managed to work it out for my schedule. I'm sure you've gone a handful of times at least to go see guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you want to get into other stuff, but real quick, about a year and a half ago, my most recent trip to Taiwan, I did see both Chi Hung and Po Song. And Po Song Kang is scouting with the Padres, and Chi Hung is a coach, maybe pitching coach, with a minor league Brothers Elephant Club over there in the CPBL. So they're both very active in baseball still. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy to hear that, actually.
Yeah,
nice kids. Just,
great kids.
Yeah,
great
just
kids.
Didn't work out. Yep. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about your job. And, you know, one thing, I get a lot of questions from readers about not just international prospects, but international scouting. And I think to folks outside the game, it is still the most opaque area of the business, right? Is often depicted as sort of that's the Wild West of baseball. And it's certainly true relative to the structure of the draft. But maybe talk a little bit about how long you've been on the international side and what you've found it's like, particularly since obviously you're scouting these kids younger than we scout any kids for the draft, often as young as 13, at least when you just first go lay eyes on them.
Right.
That's something we would never think of doing with a kid in Canada or the US.
Right. First of all, it is extremely challenging, and I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to basically all levels of scouting, you know, big league level, upper minors, lower minors, obviously the draft with college, junior college, and high school. And this is unquestionably the most challenging area to scout. It's very rewarding, though. I've had great experiences. I've been sort of, I guess, officially overseeing international since 2016, but was involved, you know, going back, I guess, as early as maybe 2013 after I shifted out of amateur into the AGM role at the time. And, you know, you're right. Like, look, it's relative to the draft, obviously relative to, you know, certainly scouting college players, but even high school players, it is quite unstructured. And yeah, there are times where you're at events and you will see 13-year-olds. I mean, there's an event where you'll see a 12-year-old. But the 12 and 13-year-olds down there, especially in Dominican, don't look like they do, you know, here up in the US and in Canada. And I think a big reason for that is that these kids are getting into academies at a young age, sometimes as early as, you know, 10 and 11 years old. And they're training every day. You know, they're playing baseball 6 days a week. You know, they're on, you know, training programs at an early age, and they're just getting a ton of reps. It's eye-opening to see a 13-year-old hit a ball, you know, 350 feet. You know, my son is 13 and, you know, he's a decent player, but I can't imagine him doing anything like that. So it is challenging, but at the same time, you know, it's a great experience, and it's certainly rewarding when you see a kid at such a young age and then, you know, sign the player at 16 or 17, move forward and make their way to the big leagues.
One thing that's always intrigued me, and I usually don't see those guys until they're 16.
Yep.
I might see video from when they're younger, but I don't actually physically eyes on them until they're 16. But they're still growing. Like, we don't usually get that with kids through the draft. Occasionally we'll get the 17-year-old, and you'll say, well, he's still got 2 years left. He can get a little taller. But usually we're just expecting him to fill out. I feel like I use that phrase 200 times every spring writing about prospects. But
yeah,
I remember the case of it's probably before you were on the international side, but you were in the business when the Reds signed Juan Duran, and he went from like 6'3 or 6'4 to 6'9. Like, grew himself out of being out of baseball. And okay, that's rare. But
yeah.
I assume you must factor that in, right? This kid, okay, not only do I expect him to get stronger, but you're trying to project a frame up. He could get taller, he could get wider. Like, do you end up spending more time on that than you do on trying to talk about specific tools when it's a kid who's obviously, before you've signed him, he's say 14 or 15.
Yeah, the physical element is a huge part of it. And look, generally, we're less on the Durans of like, hey, is he, you know, he's 6'3", is he going to get too big? Is he going to get to 6'8", 6'9"? But you're more talking about the kid who's, maybe 5'8" and 130 pounds soaking wet, but has tools that you really like, and, you know, trying to project what you think his body might look like in 5 years, 10 years, whatever. So that part is challenging, and it is generally more of a strength thing. Like, will they get stronger? So look, I'm sure a lot of teams do this. We involve our high performance staff, our training staff, you know, to try and gain some insight into like certain body compositions, and whether or not they think that this type of frame will grow, will have the ability to add, you know, depending on the player, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds. I mean, honestly, even as much as 50, 60 pounds when you're seeing some of these kids who, you know, at such a young age who are lean and wiry. So that, you know, again, like that's part of, I say guesswork. It's, I mean, we're obviously taking gambles on all these kids because they're so far away. But we're doing as much as we can to try and check as many boxes as possible, especially before making, you know, some of the larger investments.
So that leads into the one other general area question I had before we start talking about some of the prospects in your system, which is you are dealing with a much longer time frame also than we ever think about for high school, especially for college players. College players get drafted. It's, hey, can he be in the big leagues next year? You're the fastest I think we ever see a player sign. I'm thinking specifically out of Latin America. Obviously, some of the kids coming out of Asia, you may have different experiences. But kids out of the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, other countries there, 3 years would be exceptionally fast. That is the Vlads, basically.
Yeah, Acuñas and Juan Sotos, yeah.
Yeah, the absolute top tier. But there are, you know, typically, I think 4 to 6 years is probably a lot more common. And some of those players still end up being stars. They just, you know, need more physical development or more experience facing better pitching. So, you know, again, sort of how does that affect your evaluation process? Especially, what do you do for those kids where you see physical ability, you see tools, but what you haven't seen is like good game experience or so-and-so hasn't faced good pitching, good, you know, good breaking stuff yet. Whereas here, like the US kids, it's almost like we over scout them, right? We see them all summer against they face the same 20 guys over and over again at every showcase.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is where it kind of gets back to, you know, sort of your grassroots scouting. Number one, you really have to like players because it's really easy to pick these kids apart when they're that young. Right. I mean, we could pick apart any 14, 15, 16 year old. right. So
sounds mean.
Yeah. You really do have to like players, you know, and then I think that depending on, you know, how you evaluate, you really have to factor in. I find anyways, you really need to factor in projection. You really need to factor in swing and swing mechanics and how efficient, how a kid moves is athleticism. Same thing with pitching, and pitching is even tougher, right? Because like, look, these kids get pretty physical at 14, 15, 16 years old, but there's only so much your body can take as a pitcher at a young age, right? You're not, you know, you don't see 14 year olds out there throwing 92, 93 miles an hour. You see a lot of them throwing, you know, 84 to 88 miles an hour or 82 to 85 miles an hour. And then you're really relying on, you know, delivery, athleticism, arm action, you know, just the ease of how they operate, and generally how their bodies move. So again, like another piece that just makes this sort of a more challenging environment, than domestically, but a ton of upside, obviously. Right. So I think that to be in this market, and look, that's the way most of these clubs are, you know, I know a lot of the VPs and directors, and they are aggressive people. They're not afraid to make mistakes. You just can't, because, you know, this is the toughest thing ever, right? Being this far away from your prime makes it difficult, more difficult to predict what they're actually going to be in the end.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So let's start talking about some of the prospects in your system. We have to start with everybody's favorite now, your full-figured catcher, Alejandro Kirky. Went from A-ball to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And it's funny, Caitlin McGrath covers the Blue Jays for us. Send me a message right away on Slack and said, do you think he's ready? And I said, you know, honestly, I have no idea. Because one, I hadn't seen him live. I'd talked to you about him. I talked to scouts. But how do you know when a kid is ready to go from A-ball to the big leagues, just as a hitter, never mind behind the plate? And he comes up and he is just hitting rockets all over the field, like he had just come up from AAA the day before. It is amazing. I know the concerns about the body type, but talk about him as a hitter and a little bit as a catcher, what you saw in him to bring him into the system in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his path to the big leagues is not a typical path. But going back to the beginning, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I remember this like it was yesterday. I had sent Dean DeSillis, one of our special assignment scouts, mm-hmm. to Tijuana, Mexico, to see another catcher, a different catcher, at a workout. And he called me after the workout, and I said, hey, how's the catcher? And he basically said, yeah, he was okay. He's like, look, there's this other guy, you know, his name is Alex Kirk. And he's big, like I'm telling you, he's big. He's a big guy, but he does X and Y and Z and you know, talk through it. You know, he's like, I really like this guy. Send me some video. We watched the video and talked to our director about it, and we pulled the trigger pretty quickly on him. But I think what was appealing to him at the time, which you still see now, is he obviously he has very elite bat to ball skills. You know, his plate discipline numbers are quite good, and he hits the ball really hard. You know, he has really short arms, and and not always a good thing for a baseball player, but in this case, you know, and I think he showed it in his limited time in the big leagues last year. You know, if you try to come in on him hard, he has the ability to turn on it, mm-hmm. and you know, he can also handle stuff away. So for a guy who has short arms, the way his swing works, the way he's set up, he does have very solid plate coverage, and he's a very disciplined hitter. He has some skills that you can't teach. Like his ability to slow the game down in the box is very impressive for a young guy. You know, defensively, he's actually a very solid receiver and thrower. And really, like, we saw that at the youngest age. I want to say the first time he came into our complex in Dominican, you know, everyone's like, who's this guy? You know, you don't even know who he is, right? Yeah. And it was during instructional league in Dominican, and we had a kid come in who was throwing a pen at like 91 to 95, I want to say, with that bowling ball sinker, and just the ease with how he received the ball was really impressive, you know. And you know, again, 17 years old, just really, really, or whatever it was, at 17 or 18, his ability to handle heavy, heavy movement was impressive. And he moved around well for a big guy. I mean, look, there's a lot of big catchers in the big leagues who have shown that sort of lower half flexibility and ability to move around. And I think he, you know, I think he does have that. Obviously, you know, he's working hard to get in better shape. And I think that that'll give him a better chance to play more. But at the end of the day, it's a skill set that's really hard to find. Just the ability to make good decisions in the box and hit the ball hard at a very high rate is pretty impressive.
You guys have some real catching depth between what you have in the big leagues, obviously Kirk there now, and then the guy I tabbed as your sleeper prospect going into 2021, Gabriel Moreno, who's probably a better prospect overall than Kirk is. Just Kirk is ready now. We have a better idea of what Kirk can do.
Yeah.
But I think for Blue Jays fans too, it might be, you know, other than the particularly hardcore fans, Moreno's not a guy they've heard a whole lot about, but he probably is the more well-rounded prospect. So give us a little bit of a sense again of not just what he is now, but what you saw when first bringing him into the system.
Yeah. So really, you know, not a high profile sign, but I think one of the things that stood out with him is that he showed, and our area scout, Francisco Plasencia, did a really good job with him. He showed, again, a very, maybe not the same sort of discipline, but like very elite contact skills at a young age. And I think it was like just a combination of like grit and confidence where, you know, as an amateur at his academy in Venezuela, like he wanted to be in the big group. You know, he wanted to be in the live BP group where the kids who are going to get $1 million, $2 million are in. Like, he's like, I'm in that group. You know, I need to be in that group. I'm as good as these guys. And just that kind of chip on his shoulder, so to speak. And he was actually an infielder at the time. You know, we had talked about him just prior to signing and then post signing about, you know, about catching. He's really athletic back there. He moves around well. He's got some work to do, like everybody, you know, every young catcher does. But his combination of sort of competitiveness, intelligence, and athleticism, I think, gives him a chance to be a pretty solid defender back there. The bat is really good, and he moves well. You know, he can run. I remember talking in the front office with some people after his first year. You know, his out of the gate, he didn't have a great year at the GCL. Like, it was actually like a sub 600 OPS, but the contact skills were really good, like really good. Like the strikeout rate was ultra low, and he showed up the following spring training and he looked about 15 pounds heavier, good weight. And he had added like a big leg kick, and all of a sudden, like I'm watching him take BP in minor league spring training, and I'm like, whoa, this is a different guy. You know, like just the combination of like contact skills and athleticism that he had, you know, added now with like the little extra movements and strength and power with the leg kick. All of a sudden, we were like, this kid's got a chance to break out. And you know, of course, he did that summer of 18. And again, like, you know, it's lower levels. It's GCL with a little bit of Abbey League mixed in. But 19, he had a great year in Lansing, and he may have been our most consistent hitter at the alt site last year. You know, again, it's limited. It's like 70 some odd appearances, plate appearances, but it was like an 1100 OPS and hit some home runs and doubles, and it was pretty impressive. So, yeah.
The one other guy I wanted to ask about from your Latin American program, Orelvis Martinez, has been the back of my top 100 the last couple of years. I think he was probably sort of, if you asked folks around the industry, the consensus was that he was the best of this wave of guys. Now, Alejandro got to the big leagues faster. But Martinez also was a guy you gave a lot of money to, $3.5 million 3 years ago, I think. 3 years ago this
summer.
Yeah,
it was the 18 class, yeah.
The 18 class, right? So, and I mean, teams give a lot of those $2, $3, $4 million bonuses to guys who almost immediately they don't work out. But in his case, it looks like he's kind of justified everything, at least so far, and maybe has a chance to move a little bit more quickly once we get them. Hopefully we get all these guys back on the field in May.
Yeah, he's really impressive. So he's kind of a he's one of the better performers that I've seen down in Latin America as an amateur. And, you know, fortunately, I was probably able to see 50, 60 at bats at least with him before we signed him. And, you know, what struck me was, you know, he has big movements. He's got a big leg kick, but it's an ultra loose swing. It's a really quick bat. He showed the ability to hit the ball to all fields for power. He showed the ability to handle velocity. You know, I remember at a workout, you know, essentially every fastball he faced was, and he would have been 50, might've been 14 at the time, maybe 15, mm-hmm. but essentially every fastball he faced at this particular workout was between 88 and 95. You know, guys were, we had some older guys in there and, you know, no fear, no panic. The big leg kick, which you worry about with a young kid on time, you know, consistently, really didn't get beat. And that's the bat is really impressive. So I've been down here for a couple of days now. We've had just had our second day of workouts. He's in big league camp. And I mean, the ball is exploding off his bat. I mean, it is really, it's impressive power. And he's actually trimmed up a little bit. So, like, you know, not that he was ever thick, but mm-hmm. His dad is like not a shorter, stocky, strong guy. But Arelvis is a leaner body, a leaner frame, and moving around really well in the infield. There's a lot of looseness to him, and obviously strength. So, yeah, I'm really excited about him. I do think he has a chance to move a little bit quicker. He got a little taste of the alt site towards the end last year, which was a good experience for him. And obviously this big league camp will be a good experience for him as well.
So I said I was done asking about your Latin American prospects, but that's because I have to ask about the Dutch kids. So folks who don't know, Andrew has some Dutch ancestry also, yeah. And the Jays have a couple of Dutch prospects in the system. Sem Roberson was on my list for you guys last year. He was in the write-up this year. I'm hoping I'm saying this right. Jorginho Casemiro, who actually pitched in honkball last year.
He did.
We love the honkball.
Yeah. Yes. I love the honkball too. It's great. It's fun. And you know what? It's funny, Keith, like, I remember going over there in the spring of 19 to see them pitch. I went over twice actually. And, you know, really at the time they were both 17 years old and it's a wood bat league, but I would probably comp it to like a good Division II conference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean that, yeah, for a 17 year old kid, that's not easy. Right. You know, Jorginho was used in sort of a closer, high leverage reliever type situation that year. And Sem was a starter. Sem actually absolutely dominated. You know, at the time he was throwing like 83, 87, maybe touching 88. But his ability to pitch and spin the ball and command the ball and his unbelievable delivery and athleticism were very appealing. Gior was a little more power. Gior was like, you know, 90 up to 94, pitching around 91, 92. So it was a little easier, you know, less guesswork involved. But Sem may have, I mean, probably top five deliveries all time that I've evaluated as an amateur. Just extremely efficient and athletic, and pretty impressive. But I would highly recommend honkball games. They get decent crowds. There's you know, plenty of beer that you know, it's like these rotary clubs, right? So, I mean, it's really a good time. It's a pretty neat environment, especially in some of the rivalry games, but it's a fun league to scout for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we get to see those guys on the field. We hope Cardino back this year. Yep. He does for Zuleta. Like you guys, there's a lot of talent in the system and a ton of it has come through all of your department, through all the different avenues and that you're, even I like that you're even looking in maybe some less traditional spots.
Yep.
To find talent.
No, we're heading in the right direction. We're pretty excited about the big league season and the system. And actually, Keith, I was looking at your top 20. So all 10 of your top 10 guys are here in big league camp, and ooh. 16 of the top 20 on your list are here in big league camp.
Oh, wow.
So it's a fun camp, obviously for a lot of reasons, you know, with some of the additions we've made at the major league level, but you know, also to get a good look at some of these younger guys who are hopefully a big part of our future.
Yeah, and that helps them get that kind of experience too.
Absolutely.
That exposure, even if they get a couple at bats here and there in big league at the end of big league games, I think that's invaluable.
Absolutely.
Even if they're going to stick around, just still be there in April for minor league spring training.
Yep, for sure. Yep. For sure.
My guest today has been Andrew Tinnish, Vice President of International Scouting for the Toronto Blue Jays, a big fan of red sauce, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. This was our longstanding debate with the listeners. No idea what I'm talking about. He's team red sauce. I'm team pesto. But the truth is we love food. And that was one of the things Andrew and I first bonded over when I first got to the Blue Jays. Andrew, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it.
That's all for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. For those of you who do enjoy the show, we do have a survey out for listeners to all of the Athletic podcasts. And if you're interested in filling it out and just giving us some feedback on our shows, you can look for the link in the show notes. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.